shorter bit. You'll be glad to know. Okay, I want to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word this morning as Steph has prayed. Father, we come before you this morning to ask that you would give us your Holy Spirit, who brings light and understanding to the word of God, and that he, Lord God, would reveal wonderful truths from out of it this morning, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the last in our series on Psalm 119. And I was thinking about it during the week and just mentioning this morning, like, what an incredible series it has been. And absolutely, I have been really, really encouraged. And I know that the other guys have been really encouraged in going through this psalm. And when you recognize, you know, that it is a memory psalm, it was written alphabetically so that people would remember it. And how you sing 176 verses in the temple, I don't know. I'm assuming that they did it in sections. And I remember years ago, whenever we were in King's Fellowship, and people used to always read out a wee portion of scripture. And I used to dread a guy called Ricky Elborn, who's gone to be with the Lord. I used to dread that Ricky Elborn was going to get Psalm 119 and read out all 176 verses, because he was always true. If God gave him a psalm, he just read the entire psalm out. But anyway, our purpose for delving into this memory psalm was to help promote a greater love for God and his word. And it's really important because a lot of Christians have actually never taken the time to read their Bibles. It would shock you how many people. I learned my lesson years ago in Hall Green Methodist Church in Coventry, when the minister got up and says, "And we're just going to turn to the book of Hezekiah." And I, like in Egypt, was looking through the Bible to try to find it, because I didn't know there was no such a book called Hezekiah. And then he says, "That'll learn you. That'll learn." I can assure you, Jimmy, it's not there unless you've got your own version. But I'm like an Egypt, but I purposed in my heart that day when I went out, I'm memorizing those 66 books so that I could rhyme them off and know that I would never be caught in that trap again. And it'll take too long. It's like Psalm 119. The whole idea for us is to encourage us to love God more and to enjoy his word more, because God speaks through his word. He's always speaking. And I wondered through the week how many of us have actually had a change of attitude since we've been looking at Psalm 119. You know, have we been successful in achieving our goal, which was to promote a greater love for God and for his word? Now, from next week, we'll be looking at a whole new subject, focusing on the life of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and beyond the resurrection to, you know, the ascension, and beyond that, called the path to victory. So please be praying about that. And as you know, Sunday evenings is going to be very much different from tonight, as we're focusing on the healing power of Jesus. So something new is happening, and we're committing this on to the Lord. But anyway, Dave said last week that when the psalmist turns to God's word, he sees and experiences God. And that's really, really important for every Christian. Because I wonder how we feel when we pick up our Bible to read it. Do we see and experience God, or do we think, "Oh God, please don't let it be Second Chronicles"? You know, drudgery. Do we see and experience God when we pick up our Bibles? You see, even in the midst of his trials and troubles, and the psalmist had some very, very difficult days that he faced, he's still able to stand in awe of God because of his single-minded determination not to focus on his problems, which are viewed as his enemies, but rather to focus on God. And I wonder, do we have that? When we're faced with difficulty, suddenly we're told we've got cancer. Suddenly we're told we're losing our job. Suddenly we're told we're going to lose our house because we've no job to pay our mortgage. Suddenly things are all going wrong in our lives. And I wonder, do we have that self-determination to keep our focus on God, or do we focus on the enemies, the problems in our lives? Psalmist waits on God. He follows God and obeys God because he loves God, trusts God, and trusts in his word. And so let's read this morning the last section of Psalm 119. And it's from verse 169. He says this: Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. You would think by the 22nd section, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the sections has begun with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you would think by the 22nd section of this psalm, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Tau, that the psalmist would be singing in these verses, praise the name of the Lord. And probably, you know, shouting out great crescendos as he's coming to the end of the song. You know, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But it's not the case. Look at what he says in the very last of these, this song, what has been an amazing, powerful, powerful song. Look at what he says. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. He's not shouting praise the Lord and hallelujahs. He's not, in that sense, running about with a charismatic smile on his face. But the song does end with the psalmist showing us something so wonderful. It could bring tears to every Christian's eyes. It's what the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther called simul justus et peccator. Simul justus et peccator. And we'll get to what that means shortly. The psalmist here cries out to the Lord that he might hear him and give him understanding of his word and salvation and deliverance through his word. He has to understand the word so that he can get the deliverance and the salvation that he wants through the word. And if Christians and people are not reading the word, how are they going to understand the word to be able to call out to God for deliverance through the word? This is why Christians need to be reading their Bible. And if you're a bit of a plank Christian, you're without excuse, because you can get videos and you can get tapes and all types of things that you can stream online where you get some. You can even get Vincent Price reading the Bible to you. You can get it read to you if you can't read it yourself, to get an understanding of the word. The Bible, that book, is nothing more than a best-selling book if we don't see and experience God when we look into it. The psalmist pleads with God for spiritual understanding of his word. He said in verse 18 way back, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your law, from out of your word. The vast majority of people out there in the communities look at the Bible and think it is a dead book. It's boring as hell. Of course it's boring as hell because they're dead to it. They can't read it. They can't understand it. The psalmist knew that and he cried out to God, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from out of your word. And to understand spiritual things, which is what this is all about, you need that gift from God. To understand spiritual things is a gift from God. The carnal, the unbeliever, the unregenerate mind cannot discern spiritual things. This is a dead book. Because of sin, they are dead to this book. And that is proof that if they read their Bible and they don't understand it, they're dead to God and they're going to hell. Unless they get that gift of spiritual understanding, which only the Spirit of God can bring. Spiritual insight and understanding come from God. And as he seeks more understanding of God and his word, the psalmist declares, my lips will utter praise. And he says he will speak God's word to other people. He's telling us something that Dave mentioned last week, that his praise to God will burst forth from his heart like a fountain, and it just can't be stopped. As he sees and as he experiences God in and through his word, he can't help but proclaim prophetic praises to God. Now, I know my neighbours must be thinking he's proclaiming pathetic praises to God, because when I see something in God's word and I'm standing in my bedroom, I sing and shout and all, and my neighbours think I'm bonkers. And the two boys think in the house, he's a looper. Even last night when I said to them, he says, what are you doing? I says, I'm going up the stairs to talk to Jesus. They look at me as if I've got six heads. And then when I see something during the week, Dave's the worst. He would say to me, well, don't do your Bible studies in the morning, because I shout. I've never seen that before. 6 o'clock in the morning, he's nearly bouncing out of his skin in his bedroom because he thinks it's a paramilitary he's kicking the door in. I remember I told a story about another foster kid that was with me. And I had, for some, I don't watch zombie movies. I can't stand them. They bore me to death. They're not scary enough for me. But I don't know what had happened, but I was lying in my bed, asleep, and the next thing I seen zombies coming into my room. And then one in particular came to attack me, and it was me as a zombie. And I'm screaming in my sleep, screaming out, and trying to move the blankets and everything, and kicking all over the place, screaming. And then I woke up and thought, oh, thank God for that, it was just a dream. So I got up in the morning, and Dean's sitting downstairs. I says, oh, I had a terrible nightmare last night. He says, I know. I says, how do you know? He says, well, I could hear you screaming and all. I says, did not come to check if it was all right. He says, no, I thought it was a paramilitary beating you. He says, I was just hoping they would go away and not come into my room. I thinking I was getting beat to death. Won't even come to help me. But when you get excited about God's word, when he shows you something, and you know the strange thing is, most of us know exactly what the psalmist is talking about. Because have we not found ourselves at one time or another getting excited and bursting forth with praise to God? Because maybe God showed us something in the Bible. That he maybe spoke it to us, or he says, I want you to speak this to the church. And you get excited. He showed us something that we hadn't seen before. And our excitement bursts forth, just like the psalmist's, in praise to God. And we can't wait to tell other people. Pat talked about God moving in the past couple of weeks where she led two people to the Lord. That's not Pat. That's the Spirit of God moving in Pat. Mm-hmm. And Pat being open to be used. This is what the psalmist is simply talking about. When God does something, you burst forth with praise and you want to tell other people. He also looked to God to extend his hand to help him. This guy didn't get it easy. He needed God's help at all times, because he knew that he could ask God for help because he walked in the ways of the Word of God. And many people seek God's help and don't find it because they don't walk in the ways of his Word. If you're not doing what God wants, you can't expect God to just be there to help you. Now, he's gracious and he's merciful and he may very well do so. But he helps those who walk in the ways of his word. But the psalmist's cry, you see, was not a once in a while experience, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, God, type prayer. His was a constancy of desire. He desired God at all times. He often longed for God and for God's help. He kept on longing for God's help. He didn't give up, and he would keep on longing for God's help. It's, as Keith said a few weeks ago, it's the prevailing prayer, the recognition of his constant need of God and of God's grace and God's word to enable him to live and praise the Lord. He knew he needed God to empower him to live a godly and an upright life. In fact, Titus mentions this in the New Testament. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, he says this, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and he purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. God wants us to live godly, righteous lives, but he knows that we cannot do it ourselves. We have to rely upon the Lord to help us to live like this. Now read again verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Why would such a powerful, wonderful, amazing song end with what seems to be the words of a backslider or someone who has lost their faith? I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seems odd, doesn't it? For such an amazing song of praise. In fact, it reminds us of the story that Jesus told about the lost sheep that had gone astray and how the good shepherd went in search of that sheep until he found it and then carried it on his shoulders back to the fold. But sheep don't get lost that follow the way. So why would our psalmist say this? Why would he who hasn't forgotten God's word, that means he hasn't gone off the way, why would he who hasn't forgotten God's word feel like he has gone astray? Well, it's because he's telling us what Martin Luther called simul justus et peccator. You see, this beautiful song is ending with such an amazing biblical truth to help those who follow the Lord to keep pressing on no matter what may befall them. It's telling us not to give up hope no matter how often our enemies come against us and seek to undermine our faith. By saying, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments, the psalmist is reminding us of this simul at the same time. Simul, from which we get the word simultaneously. At the same time, justus, justified, or made righteous, et, and peccator, sinner. The psalmist is reminding those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways not to be discouraged when you feel like you are wandering, or when you feel like you are all over the place, and when sin and troubles pursue you. He says, remember, at the same time you are justified, you are made righteous in the sight of God, and you yet are a sinner. Simul justus et peccator. He's telling us that although from one perspective we feel like we are no good, we feel like we are the worst sinner in the world, we are nonetheless still sinners. But from another perspective, the one that matters, God's perspective, we are justified and made righteous. Yes, we're going to face difficulties. And at times we're going to feel like lost sheep that have gone astray. But we have a good shepherd who is going to seek us out because we have not forgotten his word, and he will bring us back. Loving, remembering, holding fast to God's word is an act of love for God himself, and he will never leave nor forsake those who love him. God is telling us in this simple verse that he knows our weaknesses. He knows how frail and vulnerable we are. He knows that we live in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world, buffeted every day by sin and temptation. But he speaks his living, active, life-giving word to us, saying, but at the same time, you are justified. You are mine, and I will not let you go. I wonder, has our delving into Psalm 119 helped to promote in you a greater love for God and his word? Are you seeing and experiencing God when you turn to his word? Does unstoppable prophetic praise burst forth like a fountain from your heart when you see and experience God? And do you get excited and you want to tell others? You know, maybe like the psalmist, some days you really feel like a lost sheep that has gone astray, and you long for the shepherd to seek you out, to find you, and to carry you back to the fold. We all need to keep praying and seeking the Lord to give us understanding, for only he can enable us to understand spiritual things. We all need, like the psalmist, to keep on longing for and hoping in the Lord to teach us and to help us. We need to prevail in prayer, recognizing our constant need of God, of God's grace and God's word to enable us to live and praise the Lord. We need God to empower us to live the way that he wants us to live, righteously and godly in this present age. Every experience, see, whatever you're going through in your life right now, every experience God puts us through is to teach us more about him and his ways, until we truly know him, both experientially and intimately. This is why Jesus loved us and died for us. This is why Jesus loves us still and is seated at God's right hand ever to make intercession for us. This is why Jesus is coming back soon for those who know him and love him, so that we might truly know God, so that we might truly have that intimate, passionate relationship with God. Simul justus et peccator. At the same time, justified. God's perspective first, because that's what matters. At the same time, justified, and yet sinners. And the psalmist says, press on, because God will not let you go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for Psalm 119, for what a wonderful psalm it has been, and a wonderful series that we have enjoyed as we went through your word, and the Spirit of God revealed incredible truths from it to us. But Lord, help us to remember, Lord God, this statement that Martin Luther used to sum up what was being said here. Simul justus et peccator. At the same time, justified and sinners. Reminding us, Lord God, that in your sight we are holy and blameless. All our sins are forgiven because we put our trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save us. And yet, Lord God, we're still living in this world in sin-cursed bodies. And we need you every day to help us and empower us to live the lives that you want us to live, righteously and godly in this present age. We ask, Almighty God, that as your word goes forth, that it would speak continually into each of our lives, reminding us of your love for us, the most beautiful demonstration of your love for us in the giving of Jesus Christ, your Son, to die in our place. Lord, please help us all to put our trust, our hope in Jesus, so that we too would be justified in your sight. And even though we are sinners, we know, Lord God, that there is a day fixed when Jesus shall return to gather those that are his unto himself, and we shall be without sin and ever with the Lord.